Listeners, I want you to know that I am very much aware of the fact that today's episode is a bit of a stretch for what this show is supposed to be focusing on, but trust me, I think you'll enjoy the ride. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight, and today I am here to review our first television series. This is the first series that I've covered here on the show just in time before we hit the one-year anniversary mark. I am here today to review seasons 1 and 2 of Genndy Tartakovsky's Primal. Now, for those of you dropping into the show for the very first time, it's important for you to know that here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And normally that is done, as I said earlier, not through television shows, but usually through movie reviews of Kung Fu, ninja and samurai flicks, and other martial art media related content. Done a couple books here in the past, did a couple for fun topical discussions. This is the first television series that is going to be covered here on Kung Fu Pizza Party. And like I said up at the top, it's a stretch. I'm just going to admit it right off the bat. This really, even to put it in the made-up category that I have created of martial art media, is a stretch. It is very much a stretch. But the major themes that come from the show Primal are some themes that throughout the almost year existence of this show, we've covered a number of times. And so for that, and the fact that it is violent, I thought that it would be worthy to be noted here on the program. One of the other reasons why I wanted to cover the show, though, is because, as I said, this is a Genndy Tartakovsky show, and I'm a millennial, so it's basically required. I'm pretty sure it is contractually obligated. I'm contractually obligated as a millennial to talk about his programming. So here we go. Why don't we start there for all of you uncultured swine out there who don't know who I'm talking about? Trust me, you do, because Tartakovsky has been involved in animation since the 90s and has worked on a lot of different projects, so many different projects. If you go on his Wikipedia page and just scroll, chances are you'll know some of these programs. For example, along with Primal, he also created Dexter's Laboratory and the iconic Samurai Jack. Yes, he is the creator of Samurai Jack, a show that I will definitely cover at some point here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, because not only is that really more so in the category of martial art media, as I said before here on the show, Samurai Jack is actually one of the main shows that inspired me into the martial arts. I wasn't a Power Rangers kid. I wasn't a Ninja Turtles kid. It was Samurai Jack for me that was one of the main television programs that inspired me to be a martial artist and to continue training in the martial arts. Along with creating those two shows, Tartakovsky was also heavily involved with the Powerpuff Girls. He was the director of the first three Hotel Transylvania films and also the producer on the fourth one. And he worked on the non-canon Star Wars Clone Wars series. In case you forgot, before the canon Dave Filoni CGI animation Clone Wars animated series, there was one before it, one that was two seasons worth of shorts, and you can actually watch these on Disney Plus. They originally aired on Cartoon Network, but it is Tartakovsky's animation and storytelling style through and through. And here's my thing. Just a little 2 cents on Star Wars before I get back to our main focus here today. Just two things. I don't know. I'll say this. You can say whatever you want about the storylines and the character development that happens in the canon Clone Wars series. If you like the canon Clone Wars series, that's fine. You can't. How in the world can anybody think that that animation style is good? The animation style that Star Wars has hitched their horses to is ugly, okay? Clone Wars, Rebels, Bad Batch, it is ugly. It is ugly. That animated film, like, it is ugly. And I know it is not fair to compare it to Tartakovsky's work, because he is to animation what Alex Ross is to comic books. It's like the guy's on another level, right? But, like, seriously, if you like the shows, that's fine. I mean, I really like Star Wars Rebels. I think it's got a lot of great characters and a lot of cool stories. But the animation, the art, really? That's sad. Anyway, so now back to Primal. So Tartakovsky, as I've been saying, has been working in animation for basically the entirety of my life. And one thing that is great about him is that although he does still continue to make programming that is for children, I think the Hotel Transylvania films are a great example of that. He also is following his original audience as they age up. Primal ran on Adult Swim, and the episodes of the series has floated. Each episode kind of floats in between either being TV-14 or TV-MA. The final season of Samurai Jack was released on Adult Swim, so that way they could have more adult content. And by the time you are listening to this episode, I believe his newest movie has dropped on Netflix called Fixed. It's rated R. He knows his audience, his devoted followers, whatever, you know, usually a devoted following group has like a name, like Whovians or whatever, Potterheads. Like, I don't know if he has like a group name, but he knows that we're not 7 years old anymore. He knows that we're in our 30s now and is going to put out stuff still for us. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. So that takes me to Primal. So Primal, like I said, ran on Adult Swim. There are two seasons currently of the series. Each season has about 10 episodes in it, and because it's not made by Netflix, each episode is right around 22 to 27 minutes long. You know, something reasonable and consistent. Looking at you, Netflix. One episode is 55 minutes long. The next one's an hour and 20 minutes long. Figure it out, Netflix. Consistency will make me finish your shows quicker. Anyway, so yeah, about two seasons worth of this show here. And this show is not a continuation of Samurai Jack, but it is taking a lot of what he did in Samurai Jack and doing it and kind of expanding upon it here. Again, they're not connected, at least not yet. I guess there's always a possibility. You'll understand that statement more here in a moment if you haven't seen the show. As far as we know, they're not connected. Maybe I'll just pretend they are, but they're not connected. But a lot of the storytelling techniques that Tartakovsky used in Samurai Jack, he branches out more within Primal. I don't know what the pitch meeting between him and Adult Swim was like, but I imagine it was something along the lines of Adult Swim sliding a blank check towards him and saying, do what you want. Because he's like, his name is all over the place on this show when you look at the credits. But he, like I said, he's taking some of the storytelling techniques that were used in Samurai Jack and expanding upon it in a new, unique way. One very easy one is that, as we all know, for those of us who watch Samurai Jack, Jack is a man of few words. He has very little to say in each episode. There's some episodes that have little to no dialogue whatsoever, and he's telling a story through the animation, through the music, through everything else, right? That is the entirety of Primal Season 1. In Season 1 of Primal, there is no dialogue because the show centers around a caveman who in the credits he is named Spear, and a Tyrannosaurus Rex, who in the credits is named Fang. And obviously, cavemen kind of grunt, as far as we know. And dinosaurs, as far as we know, did not talk. They roared. And so the entirety of the first season, the storytelling is told through the art, through the animation, through the music. So if you're one of those people who, like, you sit on your phone while you're watching TV and you listen to the dialogue in order to know when to look up and pay attention, I'm sorry, but you're actually gonna have to, like, sit and watch these episodes. Again, they're short, and so are the seasons, but you're gonna have to actually, like, be engaged in order to keep up with what's going on. The good news is, though, is that the plot is relatively simple, especially within season, well, really both seasons, if I'm being honest. The plot is essentially caveman spear, Tyrannosaurus rex, Fang are surviving. That is the essence of the show. This follows them as they are trying to survive the prehistoric world that they are living in. So every episode, they're coming across other prehistoric dinosaurs, other cavemen. Nature plays a big factor in a few episodes. Other kind of like made up, but we'll just assume they were prehistoric, like, creatures that they have to fight against. It is a show about survival. It is about them surviving day after day and learning, especially in season one, to trust each other. Because again, it's a caveman and a dinosaur. The dinosaur Fang is a bit more intelligent than they should be. She should be. She is a she. But the overall, it's a caveman and a dinosaur. Like, they have to learn to cooperate with each other. They have to learn to protect each other. And they do. As they go up against, they basically learn they need each other in order to survive where they are at. This is the bulk of season one. Until the end of season one, when our third character is introduced, an Aramaic woman named Mira. We know she's Aramaic because she speaks the language. And by the way, that language is not translated in subtitles. So again, you cannot rely on knowing what people are saying. Her name is Mira, though. That is actually communicated. And season one ends with Spear saying Mira. It is the only intelligible word that we ever get to hear Spear say in the series. Now, the season one obviously has to end on a cliffhanger. And boy, does it end on a cliffhanger. Because not only does Mira show up, and obviously Spear is, like, falling head over heels for her, and Mira is kind of learning, just like they just did, Spear and Fang, that is, learned to trust them until the end of season one, when Vikings show up to kidnap her. So this entire first season, we are led to believe that the show is firmly placed in the prehistoric era. And then, from out of nowhere, Iron Age Vikings show up to capture Mira. Which then gives you the idea of, well, maybe this is some, like, DC Comics Dinosaur Island thing where, like, Fang and Spear are out of place in time, but it's, like their island is, like, the last little bit of prehistoric society, and, you know, maybe the rest of the world is in, like, the Iron Age. No, that's not it either. This is where the other storytelling technique from Samurai Jack comes into play. That what Tartosky does here is that although that is a very plausible scenario, the first half of season two deals with Fang and Spear going up against these Vikings trying to rescue Mira. The rest of season two introduces a new antagonist, an Egyptian woman with a huge armada of slaves from South Africa, who are now her warrior group. So what Tartakovsky is doing here, similar to within Samurai Jack, is creating a universe of so many different kinds of people, even if timeline-wise, from a chronomatic standpoint, they shouldn't actually be bumping into each other. It's being done on purpose that the timeline, from our linear understanding, is all wonky here. It's not so much, it isn't that Fang and Spear are on Dinosaur Island and the rest of society is in the Iron Age, but rather it's a outside of our universe where all these different timelines are of societies are bumping up against each other, and it's fine. And yes, just like in season one, season two is still primarily 9 out of 10 episodes dealing with Fang and Spear and Mira surviving. It is them going up against these Vikings. It's them going up against this armada with these warriors. And even all the way to the end of season two in the finale, when they're battling a fire demon. Now, you may have noticed that I've said 9 out of 10 episodes. You know how in anime they do, especially for like the long form series, those shows that have been on for seasons, several seasons now, they do that thing where they'll do 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes in a row. That's a part of the main series plot, right? And then there'll be like one random episode that has nothing to do with anything. It's usually a lot of fun and like a very memorable episode, but it has like nothing to do with anything. It's basically filler. That's what season 2, episode 5, The Primal Theory, initially feels like. But what this episode actually does is serves as the layup, essentially. If you don't know what this show is doing, here's the episode that explains it for you. An episode about Charles Darwin. Yes, not Spear and Fang and Mira, but Charles Darwin, who is not only working on his theory of evolution, but is working on his primal theory as well. A theory that states that even though Homo sapiens have evolved to this point of high society, you could say, being evolved higher than the animals, then even though that is a reality, humans still have the primal desires on the inside and can revert back to them. And this is demonstrated when a criminal from the local prison escapes, and you guessed it, he kind of looks like Spear, starts terrorizing Charles Darwin and the other scientists at this presentation he is doing. It's almost like it really is more like a horror episode. By the end of the episode, it's down to Charles Darwin and another one of the scientists, and this criminal has just slaughtered all these other scientists. But just as this criminal is going in for the kill against Charles Darwin, the last remaining other scientist snaps and grabs a bone and a spear, just like our favorite caveman would, and brutalizes the criminal. And although there's a bit of a sigh of relief of like, oh, we lived, we made it, we lived another day, Charles Darwin does point out that it's actually the actions of the other scientists that proves the primal theory. The show Primal is, there's so many different ways I think you could look at this show as I finished it up recently and I've been kind of sitting on it. There's so many different ways that you could look at this. I think one way you could look at it, and I'm being very mindful of my time here because I've got more to say, but we're just about at the 20-minute mark now. Basically, this show is trying to communicate that this idea of just how far can humans' primal nature take them. And don't get me wrong, I am definitely not one of those content creators that you see who's now going to encourage you to eat raw meat and lay down on your stomach when you drink so that way you can be pretending like you're drinking out of a river like our caveman ancestors did. That's not where this is going. But there definitely is an interesting commentary that comes up here of even as industrialization, advancement in technology, because the Iron Age is advanced technology compared to a caveman, as technology continues to advance, as nature comes crashing down on humanity, as humanity goes up against the supernatural, just how far will the human primal spirit be able to take us? And what we see in this show is that pretty dang far. That there is something, even as advancement in technology continues to, in a way, strip away our humanity and makes us more reliant upon technology rather than ourselves. This show does demonstrate that there is capacity for humanity if we actually just allow ourselves to go there. And I'm not saying to go primal and brutalize somebody, but maybe from a gentler approach to embrace our humanity in the face of advancement of technology. You know, as a combat person, there could very well be come a day where I or one of you out there listening, God forbid, has to snap in order to protect someone we love or protect ourselves. But I think even just looking at this from more of a like day by day perspective, like this show is very simple. It's very grounded, even though you have all these like different, you know, timelines being brought together. It is a very like, it's in nature. It's very grounded. It's simple. And it communicates a very powerful message of that simplicity of getting back to our natural state, being less reliant upon technology, which is always the irony of having to say that while recording a podcast, but to truly just kind of go back to that simplicity. I really think that there is beauty and that there is wisdom in trying to get back to simplicity and not being so attached and dependent upon technology. Now, season two does end with on quite the bang, pun intended. So I'm gonna let you watch the series for yourself to see how this show ends. But Tartosky has announced, and Adult Swim has confirmed that a third season is on the way. He was waiting for Fixed to come out on Netflix, and like I said, if you're listening to this right now, it should be out on Netflix by this point. So go check it out once you're done listening. Once you're done listening, you're almost done with the episode. You can go watch it afterwards. Look at me. You can watch it afterwards. Okay. So that basically once this movie wrapped, he was going to put all of his attention and energy into Primal Season 3 and to add on to the tension for the excitement for Season 3. It sounds like they're going to pivot and make the show more of an anthology series and start with a new batch of characters. Apparently, the Primal Theory episode was very popular, and so they want to continue to expand off of that and placing characters in different timelines and probably bumping them up against other cultures and societies that shouldn't yet exist, but that's just how he rolls. So I don't think there's an exact date other than to be determined 2026. So hopefully at some point next year, I will be back to talk to you all about season three. But that was Primal. Thank you all. Primal seasons one and two. Thank you all for listening. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. If you have an HBO Max account, definitely check out Primal. Chances are by the time you're listening to this episode, the name of that streaming service has changed again, but at the recording of this episode, it is HBO Max, so we'll see what it is by the time you listen to it. But check out the show on there. There is a good chance that when season three comes out, I would restart this and start it from scratch. Since this is an Adult Swim show, I guess I would have to go look and see if there is a physical media copy of it. I know sometimes with streaming, finding legitimate physical media copies is kind of hit or miss, but I would definitely own it if it was an option. I actually don't own Samurai Jack. I'm hoping to get like one of the nice big box sets at some point, but Primal I think I would own too. You can follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza, PRTY. And there is a sale going on for a t-shirt, a Kung Fu Pizza Party t-shirt. Hopefully this isn't the first time you're hearing about it. You can check out the description to find a link at bonfire.com/2025Kung Fu. These shirts are available only until the 1-year anniversary special coming up in September. That is it for me. And pretty soon here, we will be returning to form and doing some Kung Fu movie reviews. Got a couple guests in the works, and so hopefully here in the next few weeks you'll get to hear from them. But until next time, this is Brandon signing off. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.